So integrated supply chain management. So typical supply chain, as you can see here, you have the supplier, the manufacturer, the distributor, the retailer, and then you have the customer. So the whole aim is to match the entire supply chain from supplier to customer and to balance this out so that you do not have any accumulation of inventory within your system. So achieves the right product at the right price, because we also don't want to increase the price of the product, at the right store, that means the right place, in the right quantity and quality, and to the right customer. I don't believe in this because there is nothing like the right customer, but you have to ensure this so that the customer will choose your product or service at the right time. Right time, because obviously when the customer needs it, the product has to be there. If the product is not there, the customer will move to the competition and result into higher profit. So whole purpose is to satisfy the customer and ensure that you have higher sales revenue and higher profits. So how do you improve the demand forecasting? There are various methods which are used for forecasting: simple moving average method, weighted moving average method, exponential smoothing method, regression analysis, executive committee consensus, Delphi method, survey of sales force, survey of customers, historical analogy, and market survey. So simply, if you go by the moving average is an average of the past, let's say, 3 months or past 6 months or past 9 months. So when you take the moving average, you are removing any seasonality which is there. For example, if you're taking the moving average of the last 12 months or moving average of the last 9 months, any seasonality will be evened out and you will get an average which is more in keeping with the trend. The other method is the weighted moving average method. So how is it different from the simple moving average? In weighted average, you are giving higher weightage to the recent month. So for example, today if we are in the month of January, highest weightage is given to December, less weightage is given to November, further less weightage is given to October. So as you go into the historical data, the weightage which is given is progressively less, and that is the weighted moving average. The exponential smoothing model is something similar to weighted average. Only thing is the weightage which is given is exponential. That means it reduces exponentially. So for the recent month, it will be high, and then exponentially the weightage keeps on reducing. In the regression analysis, you are using a formula, something like y equals to fx plus e, where e is the error and f is a function of x. So regression analysis is also a predictive method for predicting or extrapolating the data. Executive committee is where you have a group of people, the executives, who are in touch with the market, and they give their input on what they think will be the market requirement. In Delphi method, normally it's a panel of experts, so there'll be 4 or 5 experts who give their opinion, and they may guide the forecast. Survey of the sales force is where your sales force from different regions are asked about the forecast in their region, and you consolidate the forecast and come to the final figure. Survey of the customers. So here you are going one step ahead and you are asking customers what will be their requirement in the next 3 months or next 6 months. And basically you are consolidating that information to make a forecast. The other is the historical analogy. So where you are looking at the historical data and trying to predict what will be the future forecast. The other one is the market survey, where you have certain people doing the market survey and telling you which way the markets are moving and how the markets are supposed to behave. Analyzing the market situation. So how dynamic is the market? Is the market, you know, moving up? Is it moving down? Is it stagnant? Is there a status quo? At what speed the change occurs? So how dynamic, how aggressive is the market? And at what speed the market requirements are changing? Is the market buyer driven or seller driven? So many a times it so happens that, you know, there is a shortage of something in the market. And in such cases, we say it is a seller's market. So seller dictates the term. Now, there are times when the supply becomes more than the demand, and then the market can become a buyer market. So that will also tell you that how competitive you need to be, what kind of pressures are going to be there for price. That means you have to match the price, with the competition if you have to sell in a buyer's market. How far is the reach of the market? Local, national, global. So the market that you have, is it simply global? Is it local, restricted to one state or one city, or whether it is global? That means you are selling globally. Because then the factors affecting the consumption or the forecast will be global in nature. How is the competition? How many players are there? So how many competition are there? How strong are they? How are they placed compared to you? And more the competition, more complex is the situation, because you cannot predict how the competition is going to behave. Are there any government regulations? How restrictive they are? So are there regulations which is either benefiting you or affecting you adversely? So these are the market situations which need to be analyzed. Product analysis. So here you have the product life cycle curve. So whenever a product is introduced, you know, the over a period of time, you start selling the product. So initial phase is when you introduce the product to the market, you start the promotions and the marketing activity. It starts to grow. It then matures at one point of time. And then over a period of time, the market starts to decline. So this plays an important role in your product life cycle as to which phase you are in, and that will decide how your forecast is going to move. So if you're already at the maturity stage, then very likely, unless there is a change made in your product, the product will start to decline, because there will be many other me too products in the market, and maybe the competition will start taking away your market share. Creating a database. So most important basis for selecting the right forecast method and for increasing the forecast accuracy is the historical consumption data. So you always have the historical data, and you can experiment with the various statistical and mathematical models which are available for forecasting, and you can try and see which model is giving you the most accurate forecast. So you need to follow this for a certain period of time to see which method gives you the closest results to reality. Some example is given here. I request you to follow that example. Role of promotion. So we already saw that whenever there is any promotion, the sales tend to increase. So marketing tools such as publicity campaigns and promotions are used to increase the sales figures on a short-term basis. So whenever there is a campaign, you will suddenly find that the sales go up. You will find there is a cricket match where there is a car put up as a prize. And when such things happen, you will suddenly find the interest of the people will be heightened, and they will want to go and buy the same kind of a car. Define responsibilities. To obtain error-free forecast, it is necessary that there is a clear separation of responsibility. The people who are involved in preparing the forecast or furnishing the forecast, they should have clear responsibility. So in organizations that I have worked, we used to have something called as a forecast accuracy. And we could actually look at the forecast accuracy as an overall forecast accuracy, or even look at the forecast accuracy by region. So that means the forecast received from different regions, we could actually assess what was the accuracy of the forecast. Effective distribution network. An important step has to be taken by the business unit to manage finished goods inventory is to build well-organized distribution network. It ensures smooth flow of finished product to the customer. The lead time between the manufacture of finished product and its sale to final customer is shortened, thereby reducing the finished goods inventory. So, important thing is how many distribution centers you have. There has to be a balance, because if you have too many distribution centers, you are going to incur cost by way of maintaining those distribution centers. You may be leasing the warehouses where the distribution centers are located. You will be holding inventory there. So how do you keep distribution centers which are close to your major markets, where your sale is the highest, and you are able to service those markets with the shortest possible lead time? This is very important. Intensive distribution. So this is used to distribute low price consumer products like chocolates, soft drinks, etc. So in intensive distribution, you have distributors supplying goods to the retailers on a daily basis, especially if you see soft drinks, etc. Because in summertime, there is very high consumption of soft drinks, and these people will constantly be replenishing stocks at the retailers. Exclusive distribution. The product is highly priced, involves distribution to a single outlet for sale of vehicles. So, for example, cars, etc. You will not find authorized distributor, many in a tier 2 city or tier 3 city. Maybe in a metro city, you will find multiple distributor because, the geographical area is huge. So you will find maybe 4 or 5 distributors for the same brand. But in smaller places, you will find that there is an exclusive distribution for a particular city, etc. Selective distribution. A small number of retail outlets are chosen to distribute the product. For example, sale of computers, household appliances, where consumers are willing to shop around. So in these cases, for example, computers, there are brands, and those brands have their franchises. So this is where the selective distribution comes. So this is different from the exclusive distribution where you have only 1 or 2 distributors in a city. Here you can have more number of distributors, and they only sell products pertaining to one particular brand. So they are selective distributors. Of course, you can have multi-brand distributors also under selective distribution. So what are the efficient distribution networks? So various examples here. The first is the traditional distribution network, where you have the producer, wholesaler, retailer, and the consumer. So all FMCG goods and even some of the white goods, they follow this process. You also have the new model where you have the producer, you directly have the retailer, and then you have the consumer. This is the e-commerce model where you have a portal in between. The portal is your retailer. So you're directly selling to the retailer, and the retailer sells to the consumer. And the last one is e-commerce model, but where the producer has a e-commerce platform of his own, and he directly supplies material to the consumer. He may have a distribution network or authorized distributors. So once he receives the order, he may instruct the distributor to deliver the material, or even they may directly deliver the material from the manufacturing site. For each customer segment, consider how and where they prefer to buy. So whatever be your product, try to look at where do your customers prefer to buy the product. Do they prefer to buy it online, like e-commerce, or do they prefer to buy it from a a store, from a multi-brand store, or wherever, whether they need personalized education and training. So after having purchased the product, do they require any training or education on the product? Whether they need additional product or services to be used along with the product. Whether your product needs to be customized or installed. So there are certain products you may have to actually help the customer by installing it for them, or even by customizing the product for them. Customizing, brings to light, there are certain car companies, especially the luxury cars, where you can customize your car. That means you can choose every aspect of your vehicle and you will get a vehicle as per your requirement. And even the pricing will be based on the options that you have chosen. And last one is whether your product needs to be serviced. Because if it needs to be serviced, there has to be after sales service. If it's a product which is a movable product like a car, then you can take it to the workshop or they can come and collect the car and service and return it to you. If it's a product which cannot be, not a movable product, they can come to your house and they can service the product. Discount sale. So this is a step to correct errors in controlling FG inventory. Since an inventory carrying cost is around 30% of the inventory value, offering discount to push sales is resorted to by many business units. So they suddenly find that they are stuck with huge inventory for whatever reason. Either the new product has come, there is a competition product, so their product is not selling. So rather than holding on to the stocks, they will offer discounts so that customer, and suppose you are carrying or paying 30% as the carrying cost, inventory carrying cost, and you give a 10% discount on a high value item, you can easily sell the product. And this also is part of the promotions. So certainly a promotion is announced that this particular TV or refrigerator is available at only this price, and you will find that there will be people who are looking for a bargain and will be willing to buy the product. Stock level control. So small businesses, business unit can fix maximum and minimum stock level for each finished product. A central IT system is necessary to know the stock on hand of each item at each location. And this is possible. Now there are ERP systems available which are affordable even by small organizations. So they can configure the ERP system and they can have all this kind of information at their fingertips. Monitoring FG inventory in transit. So all attempts to be directed to minimize transit lead times and to eliminate unnecessary holding point on the way to warehouse or retail sales location. So again, we talked about the GPS tracking, etc., and how you shorten the transit times to reduce the time taken for transporting material to the retailer or to the customer. Some examples are given here of various lead times and replenishment time. You can go through these examples and understand how they differ and the implications. So salesperson is focused on maximizing customer service levels. So control of FG inventory is getting undermined. Undermined in the sense that people are comfortable operating with higher finished goods inventory, which is not desirable. In the sense, we would like to optimize on the finished goods inventory. So hence, sales have to be separated from control of finished goods inventory. Because if you ask the salespeople, they will always like to work with higher inventories. They would like to deliver products to the customer the moment they ask for it. But reality may be that if you have to do that, if you have to sustain that kind of service, then you will have to carry huge inventories at a cost. So this responsibility, therefore, is normally vested with material manager function. With that, we come to the end of the chapter. Thank you.